This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Smart TV. And I'm delighted, nay, relieved to tell you that Kellyanne Taylor has made it back from the Canary Islands. Hello, Kellyanne. And did you miss us?
I missed you dearly, although you did tell me I don't have enough of a tan.
Well, I was just curious.
I should have prolonged my holiday. Well, I say holiday. I was working.
Giveaway. Working holiday.
Whoops.
And there it goes. The mask slipped within seconds. Holiday. Okay, great. Well, it's great to have you with us, and I'm going to ask you to kick off for us this week. I should add, as by way of teaser, we have some drama, a little bit of factual, a film of the week, and one from the archive. Mm-hmm. But let's crack on as well, because I do believe you have done some homework for us, as promised in previous editions. That holiday, work trip didn't distract you too much. But let's please start first with some drama.
So we have Passenger, which is coming to ITV1 Sunday, 9 p.m. It's stripped, so you can catch the second episode on Monday, 9 p.m, ITV1. We've been talking about how that is very much the flagship show. It's the prime time slot that everyone wants. And this, it's a weird first episode. Bear with me. So it begins at night and you see kind of in the distance this halogen light flickering. It's a sign for a town called Cheddar Vale. It's almost giving off this vibe. Is it welcoming? Is it a warning? And I think this is pretty much what they're trying to say in the first episode. We see very strange things happen. There's a stag that is just ripped apart, and that is found by the protagonist in this, Met D.I. Raya Anjua. We also then hear that there has been a strange disappearance of a teenager. But despite that, it's actually, I think, more about the vibe and the scene setting. So there is very much this like eerie, skin-prickling feel. There's a lot of talk of folklore. And I think we're trying to question how much is the supernatural playing into this? What is actually happening? What's going on in this town? So it's left me with many questions, and I will be tuning back in for the second episode to see where on earth this story is going.
I can offer you something in return, which is The Gone. Now, this is on BBC Four. It inhabits that spot that used to fill with shows like The Killing and The Bridge and Borgen that oversees the subtitled crime, the Nordic noir that caught that wave of popularity a decade ago. This is a Kiwi stroke Irish production, and it kicks off with a disenchanted cop. Guess what? Pretty much ready to put his badge in No, I know. Who thought that he would retire? But one more slot, one more stab at redemption comes in the form of a phone call from somebody he is associated with in New Zealand. And she is a judge, a high-ranking judge, and she helped put away an Irish crime family. And she phones to say that her daughter and the daughter's boyfriend have gone missing. So he flies off to, the next thing we see is Auckland, beautiful Auckland, and he gets involved in the mystery of their disappearance. Mm-hmm. So that's it. I mean, it's a lovely, I would say equally sort of perhaps slow to start, but my goodness, you stay with this for two reasons. One, the scenery is magnificent. I mean, I think we're spoiled these days. No crime drama is complete without some amazing backdrop. You think of Shetland, you think of Cornwall and Devon for Beyond Paradise. You think of hinterland in North Wales. You do seem to have those bleak, beautiful exteriors that are meant to mirror the characters' great demons within. This is no exception. New Zealand has never looked more beautiful, and I include the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Wow.
And also, I want to alert your attention to, we have in the character, he's called Theo Richter. Everyone I've seen has laughed at this name in reviews, but he's pretty good. He's played by Richard Flood, who is still an alumnus of Grey's Anatomy, I guess, a charming Irish fella, but he is ably matched by new face to me. She's called Akushla Tarkkoop, and she plays his colleague who receives him, and they obviously strike up this unlikely, but guess what, effective duo. And she has got Maori community connections, and they play into the story. So it's as much about her as him. And I stayed with it. I found it beautiful, absorbing. There's nothing new on this tin.
Okay.
It's a pretty conventional crime drama, as I say, elevated by the beautiful backdrop and these two performances in the lead roles. And it's all available on the iPlayer. So curl up late at night and just feast on something a bit like the days gone by of The Bridge and The Killing.
Okay, well, that sounds like one well worth a visit.
So we move on to some factual, and I believe you come back to the classroom with your homework intact and complete because a listener asked us to discuss jury murder trial as a huge oversight of this podcast, for which we can only say mea culpa, or whatever the plural of that is, mea and tea culpa. So you have now watched it, and what do you have to say?
I did, and I did remember over 2 weeks I had that in the back of my mind. Do not forget, so that I can review it for the listeners. So this is a jury murder trial. It's on Channel 4. You can catch it on Channel 4's streaming service. So this show is a reenactment of a real-life murder trial. And they have, it's a social experiment too. They have two juries who are watching this case or this reenactment of the case, and they don't know that both exist. So we can see that there are two juries, but as far as the jury is concerned, it's only them. And I've watched the first episode. I think one, I found it a fascinating concept. Second thing to quickly add on to that is I found the pace. It's a 45-minute episode, and I felt like it could have been done in 30. There's a lot, I think, with the ad breaks and things like that, where they're having to reintroduce a lot of what's going on.
That's quite American, isn't it?
It is.
A recap and then a quick foretelling of what's coming on the other side of the commercial break. And as you say, you end up with about 22 minutes of content.
Yeah, and actually what you're seeing is you see a tiny bit of the trial play out, and then they allow the jury to go and have a conversation and a break. And I just felt it really lacked pace. I'd want to see a lot more of the trial and then hear what the jury have to say, rather than every... Yeah. What feels like every 5 minutes they're going out.
And are they compare? Is it the same trial with the two separate juries? So do they compare as they go
the
along?
The reactions.
And how did it leave you feeling about this country's judicial system?
Big sigh. Mm. I think there was a lot to me that was slightly worrying. A, you can see how big personalities impact a jury. So in that sense, I thought it was a fascinating watch. But it did make me think a lot of the questions that the jury were posing, or people within the jury were posing, I found incredibly concerning. And that might just be from my mindset, thinking, how on earth can you ask? So the trial, you find out very quickly, is a man has admitted to being the reason for the cause of death to his wife. And the cause of death, trigger warning, so maybe just skip 15 seconds if you don't want to hear this bit. He's smashed her head in with a hammer and strangled her. They are then arguing and depicting or trying to work out whether it was a moment of rage or a moment of I can't remember the exact legal terminology, but basically they're implying that he lost complete control of his body.
Okay,
and
so they're digging around the weeds of a horrible domestic psychodrama, and we're basically relying on two sets of 12 different people being asked to legislate and referee as to whose fault this was.
Yes, but some of the questions that come out early doors, you think, wow, that's...
How did you miss that?
Yeah, or
I'm sitting here with popcorn and I've worked that out kind of thing. Oh, no.
Or also the legality. So things like... I think that the court can be incredibly alienating and the language of the court can be alienating. But just simple things like what they're actually arguing. We're arguing it's not a murder trial. It's about, you know, X, Y, and Z. And you're thinking, wow... How, and also things like, I thought that when a jury trial is called, you're not put forward if you have anything that could make you prejudiced towards the case. So very quickly, a woman starts talking about her own experience with domestic violence. And things like that, I was thinking, surely you would have been vetted out because that would be incredibly...
Maybe it's in the interest of the prosecutor to have her there and it's up to the defence to weed her out. But as you say...
I do,
more questions than answers.
Fascinating insight. So I really enjoyed the concept of it. I just thought, right, pace, this could be a 30-minute show and you've taken 45 minutes plus adverts.
Not like us.
Not like us. Exactly.
By the way, did you just say X, Y, and Z?
Yes.
Liza Minnelli. Liza.
Who have I become?
I don't know.
1 week holiday. Work trip.
Told me it was only 2 days with flights.
Three days with flights.
All right, Z. I can tell you about Pilgrimage.
Tell me.
Folsom Telly. Now, I have concerns about this programme, which I voiced to the moderator on the day, Adrian Charles, who has previously participated in the third season himself. And I said, don't you worry that religion on TV these days is effectively a bunch of celebs walking up a hill. This time last week, they were cooking together. Next time, they'll be dating each other. But this week, spirituality. And Adrian made a very good point that you have to go where people are. And that if we don't have programmes like this in 2024, we won't have any religion or spiritual odyssey or quest or curiosity on the TV because it will be squashed out. So this is just the paradigm we're operating in and we have to accept that and be grateful for it. So saying all of that, I thoroughly enjoyed it. This is Seven Pilgrims. This series has done remarkably well. This is now the seventh series. I felt sorry for this poor Motley Crue because in previous series, we've had trips to Spain, we've had trips to Eastern Europe, we've had trips to Greece, and they got to go to North Wales. Now, I am not knocking North Wales before anyone writes in. I'm just saying it's not quite as exotic as previous occasions. However, it's a really interesting bunch of people, seven of them, as I say, assorted celebs of disparate faiths. A couple of names, Michaela Strachan, her religion is nature. She says her nature is God and the mountain is her church. So she comes in from a very different place from a comedian called Ishan Akbar, who is a completely lapsed Muslim. And then you have somebody like former Made in Chelsea alumnus Spencer Matthews, who is just apparently curious and open-minded and wants to explore spirituality. Similarly, Tom Rosenthal is there, perhaps some Jewish traditions in his family, but again, open-minded and questing. Then we have Christine McGuinness, who has become, I guess, more high profile as the former wife of Paddy McGuinness, but also has three children with autism, has recently been diagnosed herself. So we've got a mixture of different things going on, and it really is about the chemistry between the seven of them. And this is not shallow telly. When you think of how much reality TV seems to consist of what you're going to eat today and who do you fancy, this does cut to the heart of the matter. This is about when did you have faith? What made you lose it? What do you think goes on? And on what do you base your moral framework? And I find all of that stuff fascinating. So I will watch this, as I say, with reservations. It's beautiful. They go to Snowdon. They walk along the North Wales Pilgrim's Way, which leads them to this beautiful holy site called Birdsey Island. And they do all have, I would say, quite transformative experiences. So something kind of suitable for Easter week. So that's my humble offering. Which leads us to Film of the Week.
So Film of the Week is All of Us Strangers, which you can watch on Disney+. This is the BAFTA-nominated drama, which is part tender love story and romance and part ghost story or Japanese-inspired ghost story. And it is about a man, played by Andrew Scott, who falls in love with his neighbour, played by Paul Mescal.
You wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't fall in love with Paul Mescal was your neighbour. I mean, no. How fantastical. Sorry.
So these two fall in love. And at the same time, Andrew Scott's character has realised that he can communicate and go back to his childhood home where his parents, who are dead, are alive. It is very much one of those films that I think you get so much more out of it if you just abandon any inkling or want or desire to follow a through narrative or a plot line that's going to make sense. If you just surrender to the beauty of the film and allow it to kind of sweep you away, you will find so much more, get so much more out of it if you just lean into the emotional side of it, because it is incredibly moving. And also you've got Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. The only criticism I would have of the entire film is that Paul Mescal is doing a northern accent. I want to say Yorkshire, perhaps more specifically Hull. And at times it does lapse. And that was the only thing that I thought, did we, his character, it doesn't really add that much to his character. So I did think, okay, I think with how much this is lapsing, that would be my only criticism of it.
There is a lot of Irish talent on our screens at the moment, isn't there? I'm just thinking of those two. Thinking of
Cillian Murphy,
now Oscar winner extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Thinking of Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan.
Yes. Who's the other one I'm thinking of? Barry Keoghan from Saltburn.
Yeah, and except I remember interviewing Lenny Abrahamson, who has the Oscar-winning film Room, and he also directed my favourite show, Normal People. But I was speaking to him about Irish talent, and he was saying that there is something in the waters there. There just is. I mean, as an Irish director, but the amount that they produce from such a tiny country of just that exceptional caliber and that ability to just be so raw, I think, yeah,
something there. Well, in a couple of weeks we'll be talking about the return of Blue Lights as well, which is another something from the Emerald Isle. One final little offering is from the archive. If you liked The Gone, which I promise you will, I just want to remind you that you can go back and find another lovely Kiwi noir, trademark Smart TV podcast, in Top of the Lake, which is all available, both series, on UK TV Play, which I discovered today that you can just sign up for completely free. And it has a bunch of stuff from the BBC, ITV Channel 4. It's a mixture of things. So I need to investigate a bit more, but I have discovered that you can get all of this stuff without paying a streaming subscription. Very good in this day and age. And Top of the Lake is there. Jane Campion directing and Elizabeth Moss, her of The West Wing and Mad Men, starring in the first series, Nicole Kidman in the second.
Ooh.
So that's all from us. Do write in with any more recommendations, things we should be watching, things we have overlooked. I will send Kellyanne away on another work trip, asterisk, for homework if needs be. And in the meantime, happy viewing!